Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Emilio.
And let's pick up where we left off last week. How did, what was the aftermath of that one chip challenge?
I was up most of the night, probably half of the night, because I could feel it go through my entire intestines. Like, everywhere it went, I was tracking it from the pain and the burning.
You just felt it all the way through your body.
Remember, I ate like 80% of the chip.
Yeah, you ate almost the whole thing. I had a little tiny bit. And I don't know. Honestly, it wasn't too bad. I slept pretty well, man. I felt alive. I've had the rest of the chips sitting in a cupboard, and I've really thought about maybe taking another little piece just for, just a little pick-me-up.
Fuck Gorilla Mind, dude. You're going to snort fucking the Pocky one-hit chip challenge.
No, you couldn't put that up your nose. But I think after we stopped recording, I mentioned it's like salvia. It's just like super intense, super uncomfortable, and super quick. Yeah. And when you're done with it, like after you're done with it, you're just kind of like, you feel like you've been through a traumatic experience. So I don't know. It's a bit of a rush.
It's an event, dude, for sure. It'll make you feel alive. Stop. Hey, out there, if you're cutting yourself, stop cutting yourself. Buy this chip and need a little bit of a time. So the little 20% that I left for 15% was laying here from last week, and I started to scoop it up with a piece of paper to put it back in its box, put the monster back in its hole. And, dude, right away, sinus cleared up. I started to itch. Like, from 2 feet away, it radiates power, dude. It's like radioactive, or like, I imagine this is how like a magical relic in D&D or something feels like. Like, it has power. Respect it.
Oh my God. Yeah. One chip challenge, man.
Oh, and by the way, Dwight Dynamite's asking if I took an atomic shit. It was a spicy shit for sure. I had a spicy asshole, but it wasn't like, I've definitely had way worse in the past. So I think when it comes to your asshole, it's more about quantity than quality. Yeah. Jesus Christ. I walked into that one, didn't I? Or backed up into that one.
Well, before we get started, too, we want to plug our most recent movies on the DL. We're a little late this month, and we apologize for that, but we recorded a pretty good episode, got pretty deep into it. We watched The Social Dilemma, had an interesting conversation about that.
So go watch it first. It's on Netflix, so it's practically free, especially if your girlfriend's account. You got to watch it. There's no not watching this. Like, if you want to be a responsible citizen, I feel like, but I will leave it at that. You can watch it, then listen, right, Bobby? For sure. Right.
Yeah, definitely. Watch it first.
If you want to, you can't listen unless are a Patreon. And you can do that by going to dlgaming.net. And there's a bunch of shit ways you can support us. There is that. There's buying merch or just clicking around and having a good time on our website. Just this last week, somebody was asking about, why haven't you guys talked about synthetic? I said, go to our website, type in synthetic. It'll pop up. Bobby did, I don't know how much work it took them, but like the tags, if we talked about it, you can find it. Just whatever. He's like, oh, I wonder what you guys think about this. Just type it into our website, and the website, the podcast that was brought up will pop up, right?
Yep.
Yep. And then later on, whoever the guy was who's new listener or new to Discord said, oh, this is awesome. Like, it worked out. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, I had a real dwarfy week this week. A lot of dwarf things going on here. Deep Rock Galactic had their big update. They put in the two new mission types. They're great, man. They're great for so many reasons here. So I'm coming up on 500 hours in Deep Rock Galactic. So obviously the game's becoming a little repetitive for me, and I haven't been playing as much. But these two new mission types that they put in, they really changed the game up. I was worried they're basically going to be like all the other missions, some form of go here, collect this, defend that. That's what a lot of these boil down to. But what these two new mission types do is something that totally changes the gameplay. The first one is the railway system one. So you start off with a base. It's kind of like point extraction where you have one central base where you turn in all your stuff. No Molly that follows you around. No mule. But what you have to do is you have to find these oil springs and you have to build these pipes that go out to them. So you're kind of playing Factorio here. You're building these pipes and you can like drill through a wall, build the pipe through the wall. You can have it go up and down and you can ride these pipes kind of like a skateboard.
Or and, your mom.
But okay. And I was playing this game and they added some new, what do they call it? Barks, I guess. They, when the characters like shout stuff out and I didn't get it at first, it took about a second or two to land. But as I was riding, I was grinding down these pipes. The dwarf said, I'm Stony Rock. You get it?
No,
let it sink in. I'm Stony Rock. Cause I'm grinding down these pipes. Stony Rock.
And Party Rock?
No. Stony, Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk. Oh, I get it.
Oh boy.
I guess, man.
But yeah, so I like that they keep adding these little voiceovers in there. I guess the voice actors are getting some work. But it's cool because the mobility, dude, it feels just like a Disneyland ride when you're riding these things.
Yeah.
You know, and of course you're shooting while you're doing it. You not only have to build the pipe there, that's just like the first initial like ramp or construction of it, but you actually have to like then go back to it and actually build the second half, which is the actual pipe so it can carry fluid. So you're basically building just like this railway system all over this map that spreads out.
I've seen the pictures, man. It looks fucking crazy.
Yeah. It's nice because it's different. Like you feel like you're actually constructing something. It's not like, you know, it's not something that is decided already. Like you can have a little creativity. It's like, hey, I want this one to go up and around and all around and do a loop de loop.
And there's a little bit of like, should we go in four different directions or should two people work on two different directions? Right. Isn't that important? Yeah.
Yeah. You have to split up now. So that mode's good. I like that one, but I like the second mode even better.
Really quick. I want to say after all these years, we're going right back to Dig Dug. I feel like it's so similar, dude.
A lot of games, I think. Yeah. Are derivative of Dig Dug.
Yeah.
But the second mode is you get this giant tank and you ride it to a location where it drills into this giant egg. You can see it up there on screen there. And you have to defend it while it's drilling into this egg. And, you know, there's different phases. Yeah, it's kind of like a wave survival. But the really cool thing about this is you have you're constantly on the move. The majority of the mission, you're going through the map. And it totally changes the game because usually you're going through it as a group and you say, oh, there's a machine event there. Let's stop and do that. And then you do that. With this, it's like, well, the tank's just going, man. Do we just leave the tank behind? Because the tank will take damage. And if it's destroyed, then you lose.
Right.
Like that's a failure.
It's an escort mission that becomes a wave survival.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like an escort mission.
And the better you do on the escort mission, the easier the wave survival is, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, they do have like that hold and defend at the very end there. And you have shields on either side of this. And you can repair the shields. If you lose the shields, you can't repair them. It starts doing core damage, which I don't think you can repair. So the idea is to always be repairing whenever you have, you know, whenever there's damage being done. And then you have to, of course, kill the bugs as they come in. This mode was a little challenging at first, but then I did it a few more times and I feel like, okay, I got to do this on Hazard 5 to see how tough this is. But I kind of feel in general with Deep Rock Galactic, it's about time for a Hazard 6, at least for me. I feel like we're there because if you've spent a lot of time in the game, like I have, like the Hazard 5s are fun, but if you get people who know what they're doing and are geared, they're not difficult anymore.
Dude, it might be time for a strongly worded email to Sven. Is it Sven?
Soren. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what they do, but I would love like another tier of difficulty, maybe put some cosmetics behind that. Oh, yeah. The other part of this is the cosmetics. They've got this whole new lineup of they have DLC that you can download, which are new skins, and they're basically The dwarves are showing a little skin here. They've got tattoos and they've got cutoffs, and yeah, it's a different look for them. Not all the power armor that they usually have.
$8.99 Canadian. That's probably like $5.99.
$7.99 or $7, $6.99, okay. I think, is each DLC.
Hey, dude, we'll pay for the VPN, man. We gotta figure this out.
You can change it with augmented steam.
Oh, okay. Again, sniper. Again.
Nope. Nope.
But the cool cosmetics are the ones that are just put in the game. They now have afros. They've got box fades. They've got like a big long Fu Manchu beard and the like little like man bun thing, yeah, like that. So my scout looks like a racist stereotype now. it's hilarious. So yeah, I mean, the cosmetics are great, but really the gameplay is what I'm looking for. So I'm real happy with these two new mission types. They had a really success, like everybody came back to the game, was playing for a while.
Did you touch on them or did you get in?
Oh, I played through each one of them several times. Right, yeah. Good. I've been through the maps. But like I said, like I'm missing that challenge, and it is kind of nice to level up your characters more and more, but there's not really anything to achieve cosmetic or otherwise for me. So I would really love a Hazard 6, you know, just like make that end game a little bit bigger.
Your complaint is talking to probably about 5% of players. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a small portion.
Yeah.
But I feel like that does encourage other people, though. If I drop in with some really exclusive cosmetic or some cool overclock for my gun, and people are like, where'd you get that? I'm like, oh, you got to do Hazard 6.
That's how it used to be in fucking WoW, dude. Like, mm-hmm. You'd see somebody fly into town.
Yeah.
When you fucking took a fucking poor man's goddamn camel in, you know? I got to pee.
Go on with already?
Boring. Yeah, dude.
Wow.
This is our second podcast today, dude.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. So super happy with the Deep Rock update. Been playing with some listeners. So if you're on Discord and you want to play some Deep Rock, let me know. I've been working a lot from home, and I got one more week from that before my work kind of steps up. So if you're around and you want to play, just send me a message, man. But also on the same day this update came out, Dwarfheim was released. Dwarfheim, we've been talking about it for a while now. Been keeping close track of this game as it's been in early access. And it is the RTS game that is 3v3. And you have three people on each side. And basically, there's a division of labor. So on your team, instead of you doing all the micromanagement, you have one person who's a builder, one person who handles your infantry, they're the warrior, and then you have one person who is down in the mines playing Factorio, getting you all your resources so you can build more soldiers and you can build more structures. It's a great idea, and the game has come a long way, but I feel like it's still got a little more ways to go. It's getting there, and it's, I don't know, it's such a solid idea that I really want this to work, and there are some really enjoyable parts, but there's a few things that are holding it back. It's still having a few technical issues, and those I'm not worried about. It'll work through it. But there's a bit of a learning curve with this, and you are really reliant on your teammates, which can be bad if you have somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. It took me a while. Like, for instance, when I played this week, I was the miner, which is the hardest role. And I was having a whole lot of trouble getting the minerals out. Couldn't make steel. I had forgot how a few of the things had worked. So basically, the builder and the warrior ran out of things to do because I wasn't able to output as many resources. So I don't know. I feel like this is a difficult game for that reason, like to get three people on the same page sharing those resources, let alone get three versus another three. And you know, the problem that happened
they're having the same problems you are, right? Ideally.
Oh, like, the opponents? Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. The problem is queuing. Like when you queue up for this game, Sniper and I queued up and it was just the two of us, and we had chosen builder and miner. And everybody wants to play miner, and then second choice is always builder. Warrior is kind of like, okay, I guess I'll play that because there's not as much.
I'd 100% go with warrior.
It's the easiest one to do, but it's also like the least engaging. Hmm. So Yeah. So we queued up as miner and builder, and we waited in a queue for like 5 minutes and nobody was joining. And this was just like for the survival mode. So we just needed one more person queuing up as random or warrior to join with us, but was not happening. It's too bad we couldn't just get a bot to do that, because I really just want to get into survival mode and play around and figure stuff out. So if you're queuing up solo, I ran into the same problem when I played one of their earlier betas. I queued up as miner, waited 10, 15 minutes, queued up as random, got in right away.
Let's check how many people are playing right now, dude. It might be a big issue.
It might.
The issue.
Yeah, the reviews were kind of mixed. And keep in mind, this game's $25. Like, it's not super steep, but like that's a sizable price tag.
And that's also for a game that's working.
Yeah, well, it is still in early access. And the thing you gotta, it's hard to recommend at this point because of that, because my fear would be, I tell someone, hey, check out this game. They play it in the state that it's in right now and get turned off to it completely and just never come back to it or check it out.
It's always the fear.
Yeah. Now, eventually, this is going to be a good game here. So, yeah, it looks like, okay, the numbers, 123 people playing an hour ago. All-time peak was about 300.
Yeah, they're going to need a hell of a lot more. Not just for... So, you're saying eventually it's going to be a great game or a good game. If they don't get the funding... No, it's not. Like, it gets caught.
Well, if you don't have a community either, if you don't have enough people playing this game, like, you need six people for a game, unless you do survival mode. So, yeah, it's tough. That's what I ran into with Conan Unconquered. Not a lot of people playing it, and the ones that were either, they were, like, way too good, so they'd, like, yell at me when we were playing co-op. And that's not fun. I don't need to take that abuse. So, you know, it turns people off from playing. So I don't know, man. Like, I said months ago when I played one of their open betas, I don't know how they make this release date. Now, I realize they are still in early access, so it's not totally fair to judge this, but I feel like they still have a lot to work on. Little by little, though. Little by little.
So I had a hell of a fucking week, man. I worked... On paper, 68 hours at work. And then, you know, I'm like 63 hours through this crazy wake when I get a text. Hey, are you still going to do that side job for me? And I'm like, oh my God, I got to go to work after work. And I did that too. So all in all, like, we're talking about like 70 something hours. So I did not get to play anything, like hardly anything. I have a little things here and there. But mostly that's because Saturday night I went to watch the UFC, which happened at 10 a.m. because they have Fight Island over at Abu Dhabi, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to bring up UFC very often, but this was pretty monumental. So... within UFC, Khabib Nurmagomedov retired after 29 fights. So he's 29-0. To put that in perspective, there are no, to my knowledge, 12-0s, 13-0s, 13. So all the way up to 29, there's nobody all the way down to 12. You know what I mean? It doesn't exist. Hmm. So to get to 29 is like an unfathomable number. And then, so he looked terrible going into the fight. You know, they do the weigh-in, they do all that stuff, and he looked terrible there. He looked terrible walking to the cage. He just like, and his dad just died too, and just out of sorts, you know. And this is his first fight after his dad died, and his dad was his life, you know. And he goes in looking emotional, just not himself. He's usually a stoic Russian, you know. And he puts this little guy away in the first round, maybe halfway through the second round, after not taking a whole lot of damage. Just like a beautiful, beautiful, like, this is the guy. This is the, this is the most dangerous guy other than you in the world. And you hardly take any damage and you put him away in the second round. And then right after that, he says, and nobody saw this coming because the whole thing was 30 and 0. That was the magic number that his dad wanted to do. But he not only does he retire, he says, He said, I haven't been interested in the last five fights. I've done it all for my father. And now that he's not here, I'm not going to continue this. And he's crying uncontrollably, dude. It's the first time like I got kind of emotional over a UFC thing going on. He's the greatest ever, and his motivations weren't himself, his own. You know what I mean? It was something interesting. Anyway, it was pretty
good. Do you think it's likely that he'll return, though? Because I feel like a lot of people return from retirement.
Yeah, he's a little different. So a lot of people do it for glory or money and things like that. He's like a very, when you say Muslim, he's like devout. He doesn't let people, his wife's face was completely covered during the entire, like he's devout, devout Muslim. And so all of this kind of goes against the teachings and stuff like that. He's not really into it. So he was just basically doing it for his dad. I highly doubt he would ever come back. Except for maybe to fight this one guy that he's always wanted to fight. But I don't know. It was a shock.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh yeah. He promised his mother he would never fight again. He won't come back. Yeah. Cause his mom said, I don't want you fighting if your dad's not there to like give you guidance. Oof. It was like, whoa. And it was weird too. Cause oh, fuck ESPN. So ESPN now controls the pay-per-view and how it works. So we bought it 6 hours after the entire show was over when we bought it. Full price. Okay. I'll swallow that pill that I'm paying full price for something that already happened. Sure. You can't fast forward, dude. You got to watch the whole thing in its entirety on ESPN, word for word, so that they can sell their advertising.
Oh, yeah.
Sons of bitches, dude.
I haven't had used pay-per-view in such a long time. I don't know how it really works, but the last time I used pay-per-view was before all this, you know, TiVo stuff and fast forwarding anyway.
Yeah.
Crazy, man.
Yeah, Tyson's coming back.
Yeah, I heard about that. Who's he fighting?
Roy Jones Jr., which is another great boxer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're both lighter now. I don't know. Somehow it worked out. It's an exhibition.
Yeah.
But apparently they're going
to watch those ears.
Yeah.
I saw that fight live, dude. I saw that shit happen live.
So weird. You know, when I watched the replay of that, not replay, but like something on YouTube about it, it was like, supposedly, Holyfield had headbutted him about four or five times with uncontested.
Holyfield was a dirty fighter anyway. You know, it's not like he was a fucking saint, dude.
And Tyson's yelling at the ref. He's headbutting me over, and he's getting nothing out of it. So this was his way of retaliating.
Yeah, real deal was kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Okay. God, I got some games to talk about.
Hey,
how about that?
Let's talk about some video games, dude.
I mean, usually I got a couple, and then it's just like, all right, and a bunch of movies. Yeah, but Killing Floor 2, it's Halloween season, Halloween and Christmas. I always go back to Killing Floor 2. You know, my favorite wave survival game. Love Killing Floor 1, had to get into Killing Floor 2. It's pretty good. You know, it's the usual Halloween thing. They got a new map. They do all the Zeds have their Halloween skins on. So it's fun. It's this festive thing. When you play around, you get a Halloween ticket. After five Halloween tickets, you, get a loot crate or a box you open and you get some cosmetic item. They do have a lot of cosmetics in this game now. I mean, I don't care too much about that stuff. When I get one, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool. But I'm having a good time in this game. I have been playing classes, or as they call them, perks, that I don't normally play. So I've been messing around with the
just to keep it fresh.
I mean, just because I hit 25 with my medic. I'm working on prestige on him now. But I just, you know, I'm trying to find something new and different to do in it. And they keep on adding these new guns. So I want to try out all these new guns. They have, you know, because I come back to this game like twice a year, Christmas and Halloween, sometimes other times as well, but usually just twice a year. I see all the updates that they've put in since then. So they've added this map that's like a, it's like a mall, like a shopping mall.
Those are always fun.
Yeah, those
I
are
like
always
every
great
mall level in every video game has been good.
Yeah,
I feel like
can't go wrong with it. The mall levels are always great. The sewer levels are always the worst. But yeah. So it's a good time, man. Like I, and this is another game that if anybody's out there and they want to play a few rounds, let me know. I'm always down. The file size of this game is getting pretty big though.
It's like
68 gigs. You download like 30 and then it unpacks and then yeah, it takes up about 60 or 70 gigs.
Oh, what's the guy with the helmet or the barrel for
the
a
barrel
head?
On his, yeah, it's just cosmetic. Yeah, oh. These are all the cosmetics here. It's looking great. The game's looking great. I mean, they got a robot character, so like I'm set. I don't need anything. I don't really need anything else. My dude's got a little, he's got a little crown and he's got like a little screen for a face that has like a skull and it looks pretty cool. So like, I'm good, man. Like I can't think of anything else that I would want to get cosmetically.
There's very few games that Bobby and I have, disagreed on more than this one. I find it kind of like mindless and not a whole lot behind it. And Bobby fucking loves it. I've never got it. I don't get it.
It's
not
tough.
Against doing it again and trying it again, but I don't know. I just don't get it.
Well, to get into this game, you gotta do two things. Like if I join into a game that's already on like, you know, level 7 out of 10 and I'm just joining in, I don't have the money to like buy new guns, I'm going to get killed pretty quickly. So to do it properly, you really got to start at a game in low levels.
At the beginning of the campaign.
Starting out. Yeah. And you've got to do it on a difficulty that is going to challenge you. The first two rounds on normal. And I was like, this is so boring. Like I was bored. Yeah. I wanted to stop playing. I was like, I'm going to put it on suicidal and, you know, we'll see what's up. And then sure enough, man, like, you know, then you start sweating. Then you start actually trying and having fun. So yeah, it's great. And, you know, it's hard for me to describe what I really like about this game. It's mainly trying to work around the reloads and just line up those headshots and like just make as much use of your ammo as possible and like doing all that echoing, you know, just there's a little bit of strategy to it. But yeah, you've got to.
It might be me trying to make the firebug work too.
The firebug used to be pretty bad. I don't know where he's at now.
Yeah.
The great thing about the firebug, though, is you just, if you're working with a team, you just run by and you splash everybody with fire. And as long as you get some damage, as long as you get a little bit of damage on them, then you get the XP when they die. So you'll be there forever trying to like
kill one,
burn one down just to kill it. So you just got to go around and just kind of like, you know, dance in the flames and just collect all that XP.
God, you take shitty game, no, I'm saying shitty game, but and then you wax poetic and I'm like, fuck, I wish I could go play that. Dance in the flames, guys. Dance in the flames.
Yeah, I really enjoy the SWAT. That's what I really focused on the last time I was playing this game, and I'm kind of playing a little bit of it too, but the SWAT does so much damage, but I feel like he empties a clip in like 2 seconds. So it's just this, it's this really weird dichotomy that you're playing with him that I really enjoy.
The only thing that I played this week was Dead Cells Bad Seed DLC. I know like I bring these things up and it sounds like I'm talking about the same thing, Bobby, but they're not. Mm-hmm. Last time it was Barrels of Fun, which was a free DLC. I would say 3 out of 4 DLCs are free. And then there's that one that you have to pay for.
Okay.
And it's only $5 and it only adds 2 levels and a new boss and some cosmetics and stuff like that. And I totally think it's worth $5 because of all the shit that you get for free. Like, talk about games as a service. This is games as a service done right. They give you a bunch of shit for free. They're just fucking making Dead Cells a fucking lifestyle. You know what I mean? Most of the time. And every once in a while, they're like, ooh, we need some money. Let's charge $5 for this little thing that we did. And it's totally worth it. So it's called Bad Seed. I've had this for a while. I talked about this about a month ago when I bought the Bad Seed DLC. but I was not able to experience it. The reason why is because I was on extremely hard, you know, because that's where I'm at now. Because, like, if you beat the game once, you can go to hard. Because it's called a boss cell, right? And there's up to 5 boss cells. I'm on boss cell 2, which is extremely hard. So it goes normal, hard, extremely hard. I can't get through it. I can't get through the DLC, and I wasn't able to experience it. What did I pay for if I'm dying in the first fucking...
You can't play it on a lower difficulty?
No, you can, but I'm not skilled enough to experience the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't play through it because I can't beat it. I'm dying over and over and over.
Even on the lower difficulty?
No. I was playing on extremely hard.
Okay.
So today was the first time that I dialed it back just so I could see what the DLC has to offer. And so I beat it on the first try on regular difficulty, on normal.
Okay.
And yeah, it's fucking cool, man, because there's a bunch of new bad guys. The aesthetic is really nice. I mean, fucking Dead Cells always delivers. It's art style, and what it does with the little pixels that it uses, it's beautiful, man. It's one of the best roguelikes ever made. Top 3, probably. It's up there with, like, Hades, and I don't know what the third one would be. But, I would say it's worth $5, especially if you played Dead Cells a lot. And I played on the Switch, and just the extra, like, weapons and cosmetics and suits that you put on, it all comes together, and it's definitely worth $5. Because I paid $5 for just cosmetics before, and that's definitely not worth it. But check it out. If you're a Dead Cells fan, it's always good to check on this game once a year, twice a year, even if you like let it go, because they're constantly working on it all the time. Every month there's a new update, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like this game comes up a lot.
It definitely does. And so, yeah. And then the other thing I played really quickly was Rogue, which disappeared from my list. But anyway, so Rogue is what roguelike comes from. It's a game made in 1980, and it runs on your DOS. It's the DOS program, you know? So it's everything looks like guys look like brackets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's using like ASCII art, but not even really ASCII art, because it uses like letters to represent characters.
Yeah. So like hobgoblins are an H, you know, stuff like that. It's really, really old. And it might be a fantastic game, and I don't mind giving up graphics, like as long as like the game is good, because it's at like 90% right now. So people are really enjoying it. These are people that probably played it originally that are coming back to play it, but it has not been updated at all. Like,
yeah, this is the actual game. Yeah. You can play I think you can find this online. Just play it in a web browser.
Oh, I paid $2.50 for it. I was going to return it because, like, they didn't update any of it. Like, you can't play it on a controller.
You're going to return a $2.50.
No, I was going to until I saw it was $2.50. And I was like, okay. Oh, I hope this guy gets some money out of this. So I left it alone. But I'm not going to continue playing it because it's like, you know, I don't know how many keys are on a keyboard. A lot. And it uses like most of them, you know, like you have to.
There's a help menu. I think like F1 or something brings up a list of like what everything does. Yeah,
that's exactly it. And then, but like to quaff a potion, you push Q. To throw a potion, you push T. To eat a potion, or like, you know, it's just like, that's just a potion. There's so much shit.
Yeah, they really break it down.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's crazy to play this game because you realize how it has all the elements of
a roguelike.
Yeah, of the modern roguelike.
God, I gotta pee, dude. I'm sorry. Anyway, I can't recommend it, but, you know, it's sitting at 90% for $3. I will be right back.
Yeah. Check it out on the web browser if you want to get a little taste of it. All right. I played one more game this week, and this requires a little bit of an explanation, because the game I played was Pokemon Blue. So I never played a Pokemon game ever. Don't really know much about Pokemon. Just never got into it. I feel like I was kind of too old for that when it came out, but people of all ages are into Pokemon. So I don't know if that's really an excuse. So, you know, I've been on that emulator kick for a while. And I thought, let's start at the beginning here, where it all started, and go back to the Game Boy Pokemon. I remember watching my buddy play this and thinking like, oh, this game actually looks pretty good. Back in the day when he had that cartridge that would allow you to play Game Boy games on a Super Nintendo. So we were playing it on the Super Nintendo, but, I remember thinking like, okay, yeah, I get what this is. Like you go out, you capture the Pokemon, use them to fight. It's basically like dog fighting. Michael Vick joke. Is that, no, that's too old of a reference. But you capture these Pokemon and, you collect them. And that's kind of like the whole allure to it is collecting them all and leveling them up. And I really got into it. Like I started playing this on an emulator and I think I put like 3 or 4 hours into this game just in one sitting. And I was just really into like leveling up my Pokemon and getting them stronger and finding like what cancels what. And for such an old game, I was really impressed at how well it still holds up. But at the same time, I was like, this is just like the WoW pets, the World of Warcraft pets, but not as good. And I got, you know, back when I was playing World of Warcraft, I think a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, I really got into the pets during that stint with WoW. And they did it so well, man. Like they really did it well, and it's all based on Pokemon, but it's like better graphics. And I think they thought out the combat a little bit more with like counters, defenses, weaknesses, strength, things like that. And of course they're the little pet characters, like they all related to either WoW or like they had some other ones like from other Blizzard IPs. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm playing Pokemon, but I'm just like, this kind of makes me want to go back to World of Warcraft and just play with the pets. And, but that's dangerous. Your mic's going to fall. Okay, there it is. But what I remembered too, there was a game that came out not too long ago that was basically like Pokemon on PC, but it was called Temtem.
Yeah.
Remember Temtem? Yeah.
Yeah. Ray really liked it.
Yeah, it was kind of popular on the Discord for a little while. And I was like, that's probably what I should be playing because I don't want to get back into WoW. That's dangerous, even if it is just for the pets.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
it starts with the pets, right?
It starts with the pets. But they also, like, sell exclusive pets. It's like $7.99, yeah. Get this mount and this pet. And it's like the only way you can get it. And it's like, well, I've got to catch them all. So, of course, I'm going to pay $30 in pets. But yeah, I should have just picked up Temtem. But I checked it out. Temtem's still like $40.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's not a cheap game.
It's one of those games, I wouldn't say it's in the forefront. It's not like an XCOM 2 for me. But it is on those, like, the list of games that I want to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just the idea. Because when I broke it off with Pokemon, I'm playing this game for like 4 hours. And I'm like, all right, I got work to do. And then I closed the game and then I looked at the little tiny, I'm using an emulator and there's a little tiny, like 1 kilobyte save file. And I just realized all my 4 hours are in that little tiny file and no one's ever going to see it or care about it. You know, it's just like I could.
But if you had enjoyed making that little kilobyte.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's kind of what the game does. It kind of plays off your, like, got to catch them all, got to level them up, you know, like,
right.
Like just got to get bigger and better. Like
you cut it off at the, nipped it in the bud.
Yeah, nipped it in the bud. So I don't know. If I got into Temtem, it would probably be more of the same thing, but at least I'd be in like an open world with other people. Like I'm sure there's plenty of other people playing this and like I'd have this like persistent online world where I felt like I was more of a part of something rather than just everything being contained in a 1 little kilobyte file in a folder on my computer.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just for some reason that made a difference to me.
So a game that looks like Pokemon, but it's not, it looks a lot like, Stardew Valley is Zelter. That's the third one down on my list, Sniper. Holy shit is the first time that I would want to play a fucking farming game. So earlier today, before I found Zelter, Bobby, I sent you a link on
Automa Crops.
Cause you were like pretty stoked about this game.
Yeah.
And I sent you a message that it's at 91% approval rating. that's pretty good for $15. Mm-hmm. So I want you to buy it so you can talk about it. That's why I sent you that. But then I saw this, which seems like a better version of that to me. So it's basically, a lot of it's Stardew Valley. But, you know, every night, hordes of zombies comes towards you. So it's kind of
like State of Decay, but with like a Stardew Valley type graphics.
Exactly. So you're going around little town and trying to like scavenge as much as you can, break things apart so you could build new things out of it. But the farming is not forgotten. Like, you're not just farming for food. I noticed, and I want to do a little shout out to Plants vs. Zombies, because it looks like there's certain plants like cacti that keep the zombies out. You know what I mean? So the farming goes into your defense of your house as well. And I just thought that was like,
kind of like Plants vs. Zombies.
Dude, this piqued my interest so much. I was just like, man, this is what the world needs, dude. It's like, it's Stardew Valley with actually some action in it, real action in it. It's sitting at mixed right now, unfortunately, but,
hopefully. It's in early access. It may have some technical issues. I wonder what the reviews are like, but yeah, it's at mixed. Well, I don't know. Maybe just it's missing things or.
Yeah.
People are having trouble getting it.
I think running. It looks great. I think the concept is great. I just hope they pull it off, but. Mm-hmm. Atomicrops did pull it off, and I need you to play it, Bobby.
That looked like it was leaning more into the bullet hell shooter, though. It looked a lot more like Enter the Gungeon to me, with, you know, a little bit of farming in there. Wow.
Yeah, that's some Atomicrops for you.
Yeah, it looks pretty wild.
Well, it looks like the plants also help you defend. It looks like they're shooting things, too.
Yeah.
I would put Plants vs. Zombies in my top 20 games of all time.
That's really a great game.
That's how much I like that.
When was that? 2011? No, really? It was before that. It's like 2009.
Yeah.
Solid game.
Yep.
Yeah, this kind of looked like Zombies Ate My Neighbors, too. I think that's why you initially recommended it.
And now that I'm thinking about it, let me throw this out there real quick. For Nick, specifically. There is a Warhammer 40K trading card game that I played on my phone, and it was good. It's called Legion, The Horus Heresy, and there were spoilers in there about the fucking book that I'm reading right now, which is I'm having a good time with it, which was unfortunate because it's like exactly where I'm at the book. It totally just... stepped on that. But anyway, it's not bad. It's, you know, it takes a lot from Magic because most card games do. But I started to go on to online matches because that's all there is. There is a little bit of campaign, which was the most fun for me. And then you start to play online. But I was thinking about online matchmaking on your phone for games like this that go on for 10 minutes, let's say. Neither person can take a phone call. Because that's going to end the game. Neither person can, like, get an important text. Neither person can leave their phone, which is something people just drop their phone in. You know, like, gaming online on phone for a 10-minute period is not something that most people can do, I feel like.
Definitely not me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe kids do that more.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't really game on my phone.
No, you don't. And I get it. But I'm saying, like, even if you did, like, the parameters for it to work out, to get a full match in, are probably not going to happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or maybe it's me at work and I get tons of phone calls. It's not going to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well.
Speaking of Nick, he also talked about In Silence. Have you seen this, Bobby?
I saw this in the Discord.
Yeah, so this is a lot like A Quiet Place. Did you see that movie, Bobby?
I did, yeah.
All right, cool. So it's A Quiet Place, but it's an asymmetrical first-person horror game. So one person is the monster that can't see. Everything's kind of super blurry, like what they make you think T-Rex looks like. Mm-hmm. And then, but the hearing is super pronounced. So they can hear everything. Maybe they can see. You know, the preview doesn't give you a whole lot of like how they perceive sound, but it must be visual, I'm guessing. Because otherwise you'd be looking at a black screen. Anyway, so the four people are trying to get something done, whatever, start the car, whatever it is. And there's this monster in the woods that is looking out for sounds. You step on a twig. It's game over. Like, it comes running at you. I think conceptually, it's fantastic. What do you think about this?
I think that's a gnarly monster.
It's a gnarly monster, too. I wish they would have showed a little less of the monster, actually.
Yeah, they do.
In the promotional stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems like a good idea, but, dude, these like asymmetric games never really seem to work. Although Friday the 13th and the one with the counselors, Dead by Daylight, that seemed to work pretty well. That did all right.
I mean, these aren't games that you're supposed to play for years. These are like, you pick them up for $15, $20. You have two or three really good fun nights with stories to tell to your friends. And that's it. I mean, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, they're probably good streaming games as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I can't imagine the player base being too big for this, and it's 2 to 6 players. So for a really fun match, you need quite a few people.
Nick says it's mega scary. I'm getting to the point where I think Nick's our only fan. He's a super fan, folks.
Okay, there's people playing this. 1,800 people playing right now.
Dude, that's legit.
Yeah.
That's a good amount of people.
It's not bad.
For something like this.
Anyway. How much is this game in silence?
I believe it was $15, $14.99. Fucking Canadians. It might be it's $10.
Yeah, it's got to be $9.99.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not
bad. He could get enhanced Steam while we're speaking, right? Like, that's a possibility.
Augmented Steam?
Yeah.
Is it augmented?
Nope.
Did they change the name of it? I can't remember. I think it's Augmented Steam. Yeah, not a bad recommendation.
Yeah. I also saw that Watch Dogs Legion is coming out. You know, if this felt like Watch Dogs 3, I wouldn't have even brought it up because I didn't play 1 or 2. But Legion does have some original things going on about it. So it's a living world, kind of like, you know, Grand Theft Auto. There's all these people, there's all these citizens and whatnot. But the reason they call it Legion is because there's kind of like, first of all, if you watch the trailer, it was great. Because it's done in the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Done because it's in London. And the bad guys are presented like, this is Charlie. You know, Charlie's fucking... he has a thing about teeth.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to fuck with Charlie. Yeah. Like that kind of thing. And that was done pretty well. Same voice, too. I wonder if it's the same guy that did it. Anyway, the reason it's called Legion is because... I don't think you play as a character. There's not like you, but you as an organization, the resistance against the tyranny of Neo London, any one of the citizens can be recruited to your team. Anywhere from anybody walking the streets, dude, like anybody is what it says. So an old lady walking down the street, or whatever you happen to need for your mission. So if you need to get into this certain place, maybe you recruit one of their employees and then you get in that way. Or, you know, you go with a construction worker who can work with heavy machinery and use a crane to put you where you need to go. You know what I mean? Like shit like that.
And they're permanently part of your group or?
Apparently they're part of the resistance. Yeah. After you recruit them. And I thought it was a lot of games boast about like, oh, 3 different ways to get into a base or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you have, you know, I don't know, 20 different kind of archetypes in your city, that's 20 different ways you can get in. You know what I mean? And so I thought it was really cool and worth bringing up. And so I did. But whether or not it's going to be a good game, you know.
Yeah.
We always say Ubisoft games reek of consoleitis. And they do. So we'll see how this does. Hopefully it's a good game.
Yeah, at least they're trying to do something different with it. Yeah, for sure. I haven't played any of the Watch Dogs games either. I mean, they just kind of look like, you know, hacker GTA games. I don't know. Open world games, we talked about it a few weeks ago. I don't really play too many of those.
Yep. So Rambo is now in MK11 in the new DLC coming out, and it's added with Melania. She's the one with the scythes, if you remember any Mortal Kombat, and Rain, which was the water-based ninja. So there's, you know, Sub-Zero. You know, they're all the same skin originally, but now, you know, they're a little more customized to what they are. And Rain was the water one. He's purple.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's in there. But I put this in there, this video, because I thought that, and they're good about this, like, they take the source material, what's Rambo all about, setting up traps, right? So he, a lot of his like moves are just like tricky little things that he does, setting up traps, grenades, bombs, pushing people into things, like right here, he strings them up. You're going to see, he does an army crawl. Like, how are you going to defend against that, dude? Any projectile, mm-hmm. he's going to army crawl underneath it. I've never seen that in a fighting game. I'm waiting for the brutality here. It's coming up, I believe. Yeah, right here. No, one of these. Anyway, it's cool, man. One of the coolest things about the Mortal Kombat series is them bringing in these like characters that are not bought and paid for by a giant corporation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Sylvester did the fucking voiceover of this. I call him Sylvester because he's my homie, dude. We're our first main. Name basis. Here we go. Here's the brutality.
A lot of knife play.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
there's an arrow.
And an arrow, and then, oh, explosive arrow.
I mean, that's like a famous Rambo shot of him just stringing the arrow.
Here's the finisher. Here we go. Knife to the heart, on a trap. Ooh, spikes come up through the chest, walks up behind. Tears out the voice box.
The throat rip.
Yeah, the throat rip.
Did you ever see MacGruber?
No.
No, dude, that movie's so funny.
I gotta see it.
They got a whole like throat rip joke that is like extended throughout that whole movie. Yeah, it's cool that they put those characters in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you have to pay extra for those?
I think so, yeah. But I just deleted it. It was 110 gigabytes, dude.
What do we got in chat here?
Oh, yeah,
become
yeah.
famous by followers, primes, and views on bigfollows.com. Sniper, click that link. What is that?
Yeah.
that looks legit. Let's go down this. Let's get these big followers. Dalton for the throat rip. Yeah, dude. Where's Roadhouse? Where's Swayze in there?
It's so funny that you think that that's a good movie.
It is a good movie, too. Like, yeah, it's like just... full it's of like testosterone.
It's
yeah,
good. It's good in the way that you're laughing at it, not with it, right?
If you get over the cringe, which is really easy for me to do, like
you always cringe at my shit, dude.
Yeah, dude. But I don't know. It's harder to cringe at something where like people are putting a genuine effort and lots of money, and you know, Swayze's a good actor. I mean, it's just. And the good thing about Roadhouse is they aren't winking at the camera. They aren't like looking at you know, breaking the fourth wall. Seriously. Yeah, they're taking themselves seriously. They're not going like, yeah, we know this is stupid, but hey, it's the 80s. You know, it's right. Just like, no, we're going to do this with conviction.
Yeah.
And they fucking nail it.
You're not laughing at Roadhouse. You're laughing at the 80s when you laugh at it. I am. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I stand by Roadhouse. Oh my god, dude. There was you ever see that show, The Squidbillies?
Dude, we can get 10,000 followers for $64, dude.
$65?
Yeah, let's do it. See what happens.
10K followers?
Yeah.
That's what we need. 10,000 robots following us.
Yeah, dude. I heard they put out, dude. what else is going on? Scorn, dude. I'm about to blow your mind, dude. You ever want to be in the world? Smooch, yes. I spoke to her today, dude. Well, I sent out a message because I was like, dude, are you still playing games? Because that Zelter? Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, this is your shit. So I was like, you got to see this. But she says she's not really gaming and she's not back to pre-COVID life.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, it's hit her.
Yeah, that industry just got rocked industry, by this stuff. And it's still not out of it, unfortunately.
For sure.
That really sucks.
Did you ever want to play fucking H.R. Giger's World, dude? Click on Scorn. This is incredible. Hopefully this works out, man. I don't know who Ebb Software is, but the fucking graphics here. Go full screen, dude. You're playing a first-person shooter with great graphics through an H.R. Giger world. It looks fucking fantastic, man. This is not really doing it justice. If you were seeing it in your own PC, you'd be able to see. I mean, I don't think it's a tech demo. I think this is actual gameplay. But it looks fucking great to me.
And it's a first-person shooter?
Yeah. This is 15 minutes of gameplay, too.
Graphics look great.
Yeah, it looks great.
It's an interesting setting. Yeah. I mean, I'd have to see more here, but looks promising.
It does look promising. We've been led astray before, dude. But this does look good.
Seems to be taking it kind of slow. It's not like a real run and gun type shooter. It's just very methodic. And
that's why I got the whole tech demo thing, like feeling out of it. You know what I mean? Mm. Maybe the game doesn't know what it is yet. Like nobody's going to want to play at this pace, but it looks fucking fantastic. Maybe just to play through it while it looks like this, maybe it's worth it. You know, you're playing through art.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yeah, you know, that holds up for a little while, the graphics
and then
in a game.
Everything normalizes, right?
Yeah, then you kind of adjust to everything. But it looks like everything is, like, biotic. You know, when he switched out his gun, it's like his gun's like a living organism.
Everything is, man.
Very interesting. Yeah, if you're listening right now, you'd really have to watch the video for Scorn just to see what we're talking about. It does have a very very unique look.
Speaking of dark things, a couple Darkest Dungeon things going on. So the board game was on Kickstarter for Darkest Dungeon, and in one day they surpassed their goal of $1 million. They're like flew right past it in one day. I'm not sure about their stretch goals, but you know, me being obsessed with D&D recently, I'm super into any kind of board game. Just games in general. You know, This last weekend, I don't even know if I talked about it. We rented a beach house in Mexico again because it's so easy and cheap for us. And somebody there was like, Emilio, like, she's very French. She's like, Emilio, like, games. And I was like, what? Like, what? We're all drunk. You know? And then like, she's like, you always have some sort of game. I was like, well, I don't have any cards or anything. She goes, you know games. Like, you always have some sort of game. And I was like,
you're going to pull a deck of cards out of your ass?
And it's true, though. Like, she was talking about drinking games is what she was trying to get to. But I do always have some sort of game for every situation. Like, even when we were crossing the border to come back, which only took, like, 15 minutes, I downloaded and played a game, Logo Recognition. And I was playing it with a group. I was like, can anybody get this logo? And just like, I love games, dude. I mean, I have a podcast about them. So, I'm always down for board games, and Darkest Dungeon seems like a good way to go, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's like a tabletop game though, right?
Yeah. It's a tabletop game.
Yeah. I like tabletop games. It's just, it's hard to, find opportunities to play them.
Especially if you have a hard time reaching out, probably.
But I mean, how many times are you with like a group of people, you know? I mean, when you do have them in the right setting.
Here's the thing, though. Like, most of these games, let's say like an expensive board game would be $40, maybe most of them $20, $30 range, right? If you play once with a group of five, four, yeah, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that is true.
Yeah.
Thank you, Voxa McGack. Subscribe in 2 months in a row.
Damn, thanks, awesome, dude. What else? Oh, and Darkest Dungeon 2 has been announced, dude.
And yeah, they've been talking about it for a long time, but they've not, like, they've confirmed that they are working on it, but they've never announced anything or shown anything.
Yeah, so there's a teaser trailer that you can watch. There's not much about it. But here's the interesting thing about the teaser trailer. Don't skip through it so quick, dude, if you can get through some character models and stuff. So this is running on the in-game engine. So the trailer itself is the graphics that are going to be achieved during the game, which, you know, 3D modeling as opposed to 2D, and, you know, a lot more depth in the graphics of it. And they also said that they mixed up the meta big time, and there's a whole new meta game going on. So hopefully, you know, it's just not the same old thing that we're used to with better, deeper graphics, which would be, you know, acceptable.
Yeah.
But now it's that with a whole new metagame, which is, you know.
It's awesome, man. Yeah, I'm so ready for this game because from time to time, I think about going back and playing Darkest Dungeon again. And I'm just like, I've got 200 hours in that game. Yeah. I did pick up on the last Steam sale. I picked up, what was the DLC? The
chromatic one?
No, it was like the bluish colored one. Something Madness. Not the Crimson Crusade, the Something Madness one.
But you haven't played it?
No, that one got kind of mixed reviews. So
you're not super motivated to check it out.
Yeah, plus when I finished Darkest Dungeon, like I was like kind of feeling like I was at an end point with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I'm totally ready for another one. Like I'm ready for like a fresh take on the game with like the stuff I love, but you know, new things as well. Like,
it's so tricky, dude, because this game started a genre. I don't know what it's called, but several clones.
Yeah, there were some copycats.
Yeah. And so it's interesting how you reiterate something that started a genre. Like, it's so easy to fuck up the formula.
But yeah, it really is.
I was thinking about this earlier. So they did this thing that hasn't been done before. And then a ton of people took that and then started their own games, right? And maybe they did some right moves, some wrong moves, whatever. But you have total right. I don't know if this would hold up in a court of law, but all the games that spawn from your idea, you should be able to take all their shit that's good and put it into your sequel. And leapfrog them, right? Legally.
Be like, yep, this is legally mine.
Yeah, right?
It's kind of like what Blizzard was doing when they re-released Warcraft 3. They're like, yep, you can mod and do whatever you want, but anything you create is legally ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like Voxa McGack has gifted a sub to DigiGill. Awesome, dude. Thank you. Oh, and that's kind of a big deal. I mean, that's not a big deal, but it is the user kind of a big deal. Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while, man. Welcome back.
DigiGill?
No, Voxa McGack.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Welcome back, dude.
All right, man. I got a few movies.
25 others. Damn, dude. Thanks.
25 emotes.
Nice.
Racking up those emotes. Borat came out this week, the new Borat movie.
So really quick. I was I didn't understand how it was going to be released because, you know, movies are tricky these days.
They were making it, and then kind of at the last minute, nobody knew how it was going to be released, and then Amazon bought the rights to it. And then it was like, okay, we're going to release it on Amazon Prime Video.
Right. Yeah. And then I just assumed, because I like to make an ass out of you and me, I thought it was going to be like Mulan, where it's going to be like on Prime Video, but you're going to pay $15, $20 to actually play it.
Yeah.
But you're just saying, everybody has fucking Prime. You just go to your Prime subscription and it's on there.
Shut the fuck up, phone. It's the first time I've ever set an alarm on my phone.
Let him suffer. Let him cook.
There you go.
What's that alarm for, dude? What do you got going on? Drug deal?
No, I got to take my antibiotic, which I just did. Oh. I remembered anyway. I didn't even need the alarm.
You coming to my house sick, dude?
My sinuses have been blown. I talked about this last week when I ate that.
We cleared those out with the fucking Pocky 1000, dude.
No, dude, my sinuses have been busted ever since I went to the beach on Labor Day. So finally I like went to the doctor. It's like, look, dude, need some shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. I'm halfway through.
You feel like you have a parasite?
No, I got a lot of sinus infections when I was younger. So it's like a constant problem.
Oh.
Been pretty good lately, but,
I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah, it sucks, but, you know, life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Borat. Should we get the impressions out of the way now? Just get them all out?
I don't know. I haven't seen it, and I really want to see it.
You haven't? But, dude, everyone, even though you haven't seen that, you've seen the original Borat.
Yeah, right? It's fucking...
You lived through 2006, like when everybody was doing their Borat
impressions. Boxer gets it right, dude. It's cringe. It's a cringe fest, right?
I mean, that's his whole thing. So he does this really interesting mix of fiction and nonfiction. So he sets up this structure of a fictionalized story, but then to get the footage that he needs, he goes and he basically does like expose, satire, documentary shooting, like guerrilla shooting.
Right.
So he does these wild things. Like he goes to like this rally where Mike Pence is speaking and he dresses up like Donald Trump with like a woman on his shoulder and he's running around yelling things, just like real outlandish stuff. And then the stuff that's getting all the headlines is
Giuliani.
The Giuliani thing.
Now, here's my thing, dude, about that. I'm not saying it's false or anything, but he's running through hallways, right, as the sound guy or whatever he's supposed to be. Nobody's stopping this guy. Like, they don't have permission. They haven't paid to be there.
He must have got up somehow. It does show security stopping him, but somehow he gets up.
He understands. I think he understands both sides, you know? Mm-hmm. He understands how security works for these things.
Yeah, I don't know how he got a lot of these shots. That's the thing. You're watching this movie and you're just like, how did they pull that off? Or like, how much of this? How are these people kind of in on it or not? Like, I was kind of confused.
There's that whole thing, dude. And there's a lot to this. Act like you've been here before. If you walk into a place, like...
Yeah, it's Jedi mind trick.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
It works a lot. Yep. Although, I got shot down super hard one time. So, we went to it was Halloween or Christmas or something in downtown San Diego. And it was the Playboy Mansion, right? Playboy Extravaganza or whatever it was. Official Playboy, right? So, my buddy's like, dude, you just pretend you're like you're on phone and you just walk through. Watch this. So, he's pretending to be on his phone and he's walk through security. And they stopped him. they put his arm
whenever
around
you
him.
Brag about that's when you're going to get busted. Yeah.
And the other guy's shaking his head like, he thought this was going to work. And that's I had enough time to break away. Like I saw it happen. Yeah. I broke away. I got in, but it wasn't that
way. That's funny, man. Yeah. You know, something similar happened when I was at that Adult Film Festival. No, it wasn't there, guys. Adult Swim Film Festival. Actually, about a year ago, my girlfriend and I went, and we were standing in line to like watch some like preview of the new Rick and Morty episode. And some dude like pops into line, and he's talking to the girl that he cut in front of me. He's like, "Oh yeah, you know, you just like pop in line like this. It's so easy. They'll never catch you. And like, you know, you can sneak your phone in because they're doing the thing where you have to put your phone in the pouch so you can't record stuff." He's like, "Oh yeah, I did this all the time yesterday." And like, as he's saying this, the guys walk up and like, "You got to go, dude." And then he still does not give it up. He's like, "What's the problem here?" And he's not moving.
Yeah.
And they're like, "All these people waited in line. You didn't. You just hopped in line." They're just like laying it out. And the guy's just like in complete denial. Like, no. And then finally, like he left. It was so awkward. Like everybody in line was just kind of like, pretend this doesn't happen.
Now, so on movies like this, and not just movies like this, but this is a series of bits. Would we agree?
Yeah. It's like a series of events strung together with this framed narrative,
right?
That
which
was probably
the narrative planned. Doesn't really care, doesn't matter, right?
Well, I don't know if they made it up as they went along or
to fit the, like how it went,
maybe because it's just
it's so genius. I've heard he has a 200 IQ, but you know, that's
he is incredible with languages.
Yeah.
Throughout this whole movie, I think he's speaking Hebrew, I'm not sure. I don't know if he and the other girl who kind of stars in this with him is speaking the same
language. Dude, the whole thing is like anti-Jew in the first one, like the big Jew egg and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but that's, you know, it's satire.
Right.
The message and the...
Apparently they try to... that city tried to sue him.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's how this movie starts off, is that Kazakhstan is, like, forced him to work in, like, the gulag, and he was like... I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, it comes back
later. But
dude, it's on Amazon Prime. Everybody, yeah. I don't know one non-Prime member other than you, Bobby.
Yeah, I used to be. Yeah. But yeah, it's worth checking out. But it's just, it's not like the first Borat. The first Borat was so great. And even, you know, a lot of people, not as many people liked Bruno, but I thought Bruno was great, man. Bruno was...
You know, doing what Borat was doing, like, how do you frame this? Okay. Bruno was better at doing Borat than Borat was. But it was so far gone that it turned people off. And that's why he didn't do as well. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
when was Bruno doing Borat?
It's going for the cringe stuff, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Like, I feel like...
Well, I think a lot of people...
so cringy... that it turned people off at like a...
Here's my theory though. Like Borat, a lot of people watch that movie and they're like, this is hilarious. He's got a funny accent. I can do impersonations. Right. A lot of people, the satire didn't really hit them, I think.
Right.
It was definitely there, but I think a lot of people didn't realize, hey, this guy is making fun of us.
Yes. It's like the whole thing with Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
Colbert was pretending to be a super right-wing guy for years.
Yeah, he was pretending to be Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like probably 5 to 15% of the people watching him was on the side of the what he was spouting.
But, I mean, I think a lot of people also understood the satire in the first Borat movie, but still, like, they really enjoy, like, him doing the funny accent and all that stuff. Now, along comes Bruno, and, like, the whole idea with that is... you know, homosexuality, and he also touches on like Hollywood moms and things like that. And I don't think it was something that people could really grasp onto, but there's a part in that movie where he's interviewing the gay conversion pastor.
Oh yeah.
And
which is being outlawed in certain places.
Yeah. Conversion therapy. Probably should be, but he's interviewing this guy and he's, the guy says something like, our lips were made to praise Jesus. And he's like, oh, your lips were made for something else. And they like zoom in on this guy and he has got these big pouty lips.
And it's, oh, and that guy's clearly gay, right? The guy that...
I don't know. I don't know. But it's...
No, it was, you do know, dude. Because like...
No, I don't think he was.
If I remember why.
I don't think so. No.
Pretty sure he was, dude.
I don't know, maybe in like in complete denial, it's entirely possible, but still, that's hilarious because the guy did have these just like luscious lips, man. I'm talking like pouty lips. But anyway, I mean, it's worth checking out, but this kind of ties into my whole theme this week. Like I watched a lot of movies this week, but I really want to talk about these ones in particular because I had kind of like a Middle Eastern Hebrew theme going on. So Borat... I think that's the language they're speaking in there. I also finally watched Waltz with Bashir. I've been meaning to watch this movie since like it came out like 12 years ago. I found out about it a long time. I never knew it was a documentary. I had to watch it for my documentary.
I know what you're talking about, dude. I know you're talking about Waltz with Bashir, but what is it about?
It's got this very highly stylized animation, and it is about this massacre that took place in 1982.
Is there another documentary that does in animation?
That doesn't...
I can't think of one.
That does it. Well, that's the thing. This is completely in animation, except for the last 2 minutes when they actually show you footage.
Jeez.
And the animation is really captivating. It looks like flash animation. Very heavy strokes, very fluid movement. But it is a documentary. It's this guy going around and interviewing people about this event, which he barely has a memory of because he's kind of blocked it out because it was so traumatic. And it's about, you know, Iran and Iraq were at war for like 8 years and a lot of gnarly stuff happened. And I've been kind of interested in that period of history. You know, I played that game Black Friday about, you know, what happened in 79.
Dude, this art is incredible.
Yeah. It's extremely captivating. But I always thought this was a fiction film, but it's about this massacre that took place in 1982, where basically the Israeli forces were, they allowed these, they're called the Falange, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but they allowed these Christian radicals to go in to these towns and basically murder thousands of Palestinians, just like line them up against walls, gun them down,
yeah.
Women, children. And then like they knew about it. The Israeli forces knew about it and they just kind of turned a blind eye and then eventually called it off after a little while. And this guy, this filmmaker, he wasn't there at Ground Zero when it happened, but he remembered parts of it. And this is about him trying to like remember what happened by interviewing people who were, you know, involved in some way or another with this. So it tells all these different stories about what was happening in 1982, particularly in, Beirut and, Lebanon. And it's fantastic, man. Like it's such a good documentary and unlike one that I've ever seen. Like I said, I didn't know this was a documentary until I just watched it. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, it still kind of seems like a fiction film, just the way it's portrayed.
Right.
But
you almost kind of have to, especially when you're dealing with memories, right?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of footage.
Here's the thing. Well, I mean, there was footage. Like they show some footage at the end. There must've been photographs, but
there's
even
not 2 hours of footage.
Yeah, but then you have the person talking, telling their story, and then you cut away to some B-roll.
Sure.
Like, you can do it. But even when they sit down and do the interviews, like, it's an animated version of that. But I feel like it took away from the impact a little bit, but I have a bit of a theory on why they did it. Because
let me take a shot at it.
Okay.
Because it's so crazy and so outlandish that it has to be fantasy. Like, it's not within the normal realm of reality. Like, it has to be fantasy if you're going to kill this many people in this way. That's my theory.
Maybe. What I'm going to say kind of ties into that a little bit. So there's a part in the story where he interviews a psychologist who specializes in trauma. And he says, I can't remember what happened when I was 19 and in the army. And I was, you know, 200-300 yards from where this was happening. You know,
was he on the opposing force?
No, he was on the Israeli.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was part of the Israeli, the IDF.
The murdering side.
No, they allowed it to happen. They had like the city barricaded. It was like a refugee camp for Palestinians. Right. And they said, and this radical group of Christians, the Falange, I think they were called, they said, okay, we'll go in and we'll, you know, kill all the PLO. And, you know, we'll take out the radicals, but they went in, they just slaughtered women and children and even men, everybody. So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's gnarly. And they show like actual footage, dead bodies.
This is a PC gaming podcast, Bobby.
Sometimes we get real here, but here's my theory. Like, so he's talking to this lady about how he possibly was like blocking some of the stuff out because it was so traumatic. And she told a story about a soldier who had a camera with him, and the soldier was able to kind of keep his sanity by just viewing everything as if it were a film and looking at it through the camera. But then the camera broke and he had a mental breakdown. So part of me is like, maybe that, because a lot of times in movies, they have like a little piece where they kind of explain what the movie's about in like a parable or a metaphor or something. They do that a lot in fiction films. So maybe that's kind of like explaining why they made this decision for this artistic choice. Like maybe that's our camera, like looking at it, like kind of sugarcoating this in this beautiful animation style. And then at the end, it breaks and you see like the reality of it. So I don't know. That's my theory.
Really quick on this conflict. I'm sorry, guys, that I have to say it this way. I listened to a 23-hour podcast about the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and this entire inception all the way up to like where we're at now, and just gives you a broad scope of the entire thing. And at the end of the day, you can really come away with your own really opinion. 23-hour podcast, you know, that's super in depth. That's like reading a pretty big book. And I have my own opinions about it. I'm not going to tell you what to think about what happened or what is going on. But I wish I had the name for it.
I feel like there's really no right answers. Like when I played that game, that Black Friday game.
There's definitely an answer, I think. Anyway.
I don't know. Well, about that conflict, yeah. But there's a lot I don't know about it. Okay. So anyway, keeping with the theme here, another movie that I watched this week, and this is all by chance. I didn't mean to watch all these movies. These Persian movies are in the Hebrew language, but I watched this other one called Under the Shadow, and I've been meaning to check this out for a while. And this is a horror movie, a Persian horror movie, and it was very highly recommended by a movie critic I follow called Mark Kermode. He's very popular in the UK. And so I've been meaning to check it out. Apparently, it's just on Netflix now, too. And it doesn't seem like a scary movie. Like, this movie really has a lot of building up to it. It takes place in this apartment building in the early 80s, during this time where Tehran was getting bombed by Iraq pretty consistently. So this lady is living in an apartment. Her husband has been called away to work in a medical office. And she is in there with her daughter. She's dealing with her own personal problems, and they're being haunted by this ghost that is like taking the form of this scarf or this headdress or the headscarf or whatever they wear. And it was an interesting movie because, first of all, it deals with a lot of culture. But second of all, it takes a long time to build up. And then at the very end, it has some genuinely scary moments. And I honestly didn't think that was coming. I usually, like, I watch a lot of these movies and I'm just like, if they err too far on the artistic side, they're good, but they're not scary. But this one definitely had some scares and some pretty good CGI. It's a short one too. It's like 90 minutes. I'd give this one a watch. But, a hijab. Okay. Hijab. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. That was my weekend in... Is that the language that Nick speaks? Hebrew? Mm-hmm. Okay. So he could watch these movies without subtitles. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. But for some reason, like... I think this started when I was looking into that... when I played that Black Friday game. About that time... You know, about when the Shah was overthrown. But I've been really interested in, like, that part of the world and that era of time. And I've always, like, known that, like, it's a mess over there. Yeah. But I've never really, like, looked into the details of it. And every time I have, it's just kind of been overwhelmingly complex. I
wish I could think of the name, dude. It was, like, History on Fire or one of those podcasts. Mm. And this guy does a really good job. I mean, he's does multiple steps several times during the podcast to not, he's like, well, this is what this side would tell you about this, and this is what this mm-hmm. side would tell you. He's being, you know, objective as much as he could. But at the very end, you know, the last 10 minutes, he's like, this is the way I see it. And you can't help but think that's the correct answer. I don't want to give anything away. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look into it if I can remember this week and try to find what that was. But dude, captivating for 23 hours, you know, like that's a lot.
Yeah.
If you want the answer, I guess
that's
or at least the history, you come to your own conclusion. He's not pushing the agenda.
Is that it right there?
What is it? Go to the top.
Martyr Made.
Yep. That's it. Yep.
Daryl Cooper. Made.
Yep.
Okay.
That was it. Who found that? Damn. That's awesome, dude.
Nice.
Yeah. So check out that, Bobby, if you really want to know what happened.
Oh, he's got it split up into different episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I have a tough time retaining information through audio. So I don't know. I'll give it a shot. We'll see. Usually do better with written word. Okay. Is it time for listener questions?
It is, dude.
Let's do it. First one comes from Morconius. Tell us a story about the first arcade machine you... That monitor is too far.
You played constantly and have three... I have three. Karate Champ, Off-Road, and Classic Gauntlet. Well, you have them. Like, in your house?
Move that over.
God, fucking baller.
No, I think he's saying those were the three when he was young. The Off-Road arcade game, I definitely played that a lot. That was the one with the steering wheel. And I had that on Super Nintendo, and I thought Off-Road or Super Off-Road on Super Nintendo was such a great game. I really enjoyed that game.
There was left, right, and turbo, I believe. Because you didn't have to hold accelerate. Like, that was just default. You were going
to
go.
No, I think you had to accelerate.
I don't there think been so, brakes. Dude. I really do think it was just like.
Automatically
yeah,
going?
Yeah.
No, they had pedals, didn't they? Didn't the off-road machine have a pedal?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But tell us some story, Bobby. What do you got? What do you got in the arcade?
So an arcade machine that I played constantly.
No, well, he was going.
The first arcade machines you
the
played.
The first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Simpsons arcade game, always played that one. A lot of brawler beat-em-ups in arcades, the Ninja Turtle games. Really, really got into the shooter games. Virtua Cop, Area 51. Like, those were really my jams back in the arcade. You know, of course, the fighting game, Street Fighter mainly. Was never good at Mortal Kombat, so I wouldn't do that. But, yeah, dude, I used to love going to the arcade.
Dude, who wouldn't, man? It was, like, social, but also, like, personal because it was your own skill. It's almost like golf when you're playing against yourself. So my mom had a salon, like a hair salon, when I was growing up. So after school, I'd go to the hair salon, and it was in a mini mall, and I would have to hang out there for like 3 hours a day before we went home, right? Because she closed at 6 or whatever it was. And so next door, we had Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden?
Gaiden?
Sure. Yeah, Gaiden.
Sure, buddy.
That's pretty sure it's Ninja Gaiden.
And so I blew through several hundred dollars in quarters on that. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, you know, you have to pay for each try. And I remember finding a $50 bill, dude, under somebody's car. Because I was just walking around this mini mall.
Damn.
Dude, it's not a big mini mall. I'm going to say it's like literally 1/4 of a small block, right? And I found porn in the fucking bushes in the back. I had nothing else to do but to search. So yeah, that $50 was gone in 2 days and quarters, dude.
That's insane.
It's insane. And so that was in the liquor store. You go one store later than that and you had fucking legit pinball machines, dude. Like 3 legit pinball machines. And it was fucking awesome, dude. That's where I spent most of my money. But Ninja Gaiden, because it was so difficult, took me forever. And I never beat that game.
I played the second one a lot on Nintendo. I had it on Nintendo. Played it constantly. Never beat it. Tough game.
Yeah, super tough. After that, though, I have to bring this up every time. I sucked at Street Fighter. Sucked at Street Fighter 2. Sucked at Mortal Kombat. Sucked at Mortal Kombat 2. And then I hit my stride right around Street Fighter. What was it? Street Fighter versus Capcom 1 and Street Fighter versus Capcom 2. That's when I was like ruling the roost. That's when like
Street Fighter versus Capcom or Marvel versus Capcom?
Marvel versus Capcom. Okay. Well, the first one was Street Fighter versus Capcom. Part 1 is called Street Fighter versus Capcom.
I didn't know that.
And that's where like intelligence and like maturity and skill and quickness all just came to a head. And me and my homeboy, Jason, that's what you call your friends back then, dude. We'd just go over and take over Nickel City, dude. We'd go over there and we'd just take over the machines. And anybody that would challenge us would just get fucking raffle stomped, dude. That's all we did. It felt so good to be able to go in and take over machines to the point where nobody would, like, they would try and try and try. We're talking about hours, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
People would try and try and try to dethrone you. And it just wouldn't happen, you know? Yeah. And that, because there's a thing where you could do it online. And you're like, ooh, I'm moving up the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
There's another thing where there's a physical element where these people, these peasants, will no longer challenge your authority. You know what I mean? They're like, it's not worth my 2 nickels to find out if I could beat them or get lucky.
2 nickels.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I miss arcades, man. I used to love going to Vegas. My parents used to always go to Vegas every year, and they always had the newest machines out there, like stuff that I had never seen.
They would just drop me off at the arcade. We're talking about, like, 1985, dude. Just dropped off at the arcade for 3, 4, 5 hours.
God, that was the heyday of arcades.
Yeah, it really was.
All right, Warconius has another question here. Scary game recommendations from the past couple of years. Past couple of years makes it tough.
Well, Amnesia is, you know, that's 5 years ago probably. It's making waves because there's a new one. There's mm-hmm. a new one. I don't know if it's anywhere near as scary. But this was the first of Run and Hide. Amnesia was the first one. Yeah.
Was it Machine for Pigs? What was the first one?
That was a sequel. Yeah. It was just Amnesia.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it was like Descent or something.
Oh, yeah.
It had like Dark a subtitle. Descent. Yeah.
Amnesia, Dark Descent. To say that I failed this game would be putting it mildly. Like, I never got out of, like, the fourth room. Like, it was so scary to me, I could not play it. It was unplayable, which was, like, maybe a knock on it, or maybe it wasn't. But I feel like it did well, you know. We're at its third iteration now, so it was probably a good move that I couldn't play it, because I talked about how I couldn't play it the entire time on the podcast.
Yeah. I haven't played that game either. I think I played like 5 minutes and was just like, because the first one is pretty old now. I want to say it's around 10 years old.
So if you played Amnesia Dark Descent right now, it'd be probably laughable compared to, like,
I think it's still scary, but it's just Outlast. Like an old game. And
Outlast is so much scarier, I'm sure.
But the whole Run and Hide thing, I'm kind of over. Like, I'll give you a few recommendations. These aren't very recent, though, because I haven't played a lot of new. I'd be interested to play the Blair Witch game.
Well, what about that game from last week? The one-bit game.
Oh, World of Horror?
Yeah.
That's a unique game. I checked that out, and you probably have Xbox Game Pass. Yeah. I check out World of Horror. A few that stuck in my memory, though, was Lone Survivor. And that is not a game a lot of people have heard about. And it's kind of like Silent Hill, but 2D. Lone Survivor. Worth checking out. The other game would be a very small game. I think it was on mobile mostly, but it was called Year Walk. And it's like it's like Native American or Alaskan or Inuit. Very interesting, kind of artistic game. Very short, but has a very, I don't know, it's very enjoyable. And there is like a very scary moment in it.
I remember that scary moment woke you up, Adam. If I remember the story right, you had dozed off playing it. And then something scary happened and woke you up and scared the shit out of you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then one more game that is pretty scary, but very interesting. It's got a unique art style. It's called Never Ending Nightmares. And it's a bit of a walking simulator, some very light puzzles, but I really like the artistic
design. Is that the black white, like, scrawled game?
Looks like pencil hand-drawn. Yeah,
pencil hand-drawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really interesting game. But yeah, I don't know, man. I can't think of like any big like mainstream ones. I really liked Outlast and the DLC, but I'm just kind of over that style of game now.
But that doesn't take away how much you like the original game when you played it.
Yeah, but you can only play so many of those run and hide games. I'll tell you, if you play one,
is what I'm saying. It's like,
yeah, but who hasn't played one of those by now? Like,
I bet a lot of people.
I think we went through that phase like 5 years ago. I do want to check out the Blair Witch one, though. I might check that one out. I still got to check out Pathologic, too, though.
I would say Little Nightmares, just because, like, it wasn't scary enough to, like, if you're faint of heart like I am, Little Nightmares, I played through it fine, but it was creepy for sure. You know what I mean?
Maybe Costume Quest.
Custom Quest 2 is free on Epic right now.
Yeah. So is Layers of Fear 2.
Did you play 2, Bobby? No,
I haven't played any Layers of Fear.
No. Custom Quest 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I played both of those.
Is it way better than the first? Or?
It's hard for me to remember because I played them so long ago. But there was a few things that I liked more about Custom Quest 1. But more overall, I think 2 was definitely better.
Okay.
All right. Another question from Warconius. Would you buy a new Intellivision for couch co-op? What's Intellivision?
Let's click on it. I think there was some sort of like weird console, if I remember right.
Oh yeah, it's like that. I don't know. They're doing that with the Atari now too. They're like bringing back the Atari, but it's also like a PC.
Yeah. If it looks like this, the answer is no, dude.
I don't really go for those types of things. Like they're kind of cool, but you can accomplish the same thing with emulators. It looks like this has its own games. Is this Ski Free? Wow, that is Ski Free. Oh, and you just clicked away from it, dude.
Is that where your icon is from?
Yeah, probably. The avatar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually have to explain that to young folks.
Why'd you go with that? Like,
I don't know. I just went with it one day and it kind of stuck. not some like...
Snowboard, probably?
No.
Do you want to go?
Snowboarding?
We're going on December 13th. Hmm. You want to go with your lady?
Maybe. December 13th?
Yeah. Oh,
God, that's like a week before I go on break.
So, use some of that. You got to invest in yourself, Bobby. That's the point.
I got a class to teach.
All right.
But yeah, I don't know, dude. I'm going to have to pass on this. I mean, it's kind of cool that they're bringing back these games and they're actually not just bringing them back and being like, hey, we got these old games in a console, but they're actually redoing them and turning them 3D. Like, that's cool, but it's like combat.
Like Rogue. Let me get a little bit of effort out of you guys. Like, let me get the controller. Like, let me use a controller. There's 8 commands. Why do I have to use 47 of the 62 buttons? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, they're just keeping it exactly like it was, I guess.
They're gonna fuck themselves.
Yeah. All right. Passing on Intellivision.
Yeah.
What's the price tag on that? I feel like these are always like pretty high.
No, dude, the Nintendo ones were like $60, 40, $60.
The Atari one's like $400.
Crazy, dude. You're crazy. That's not true.
But it's a PC,
Why are you lying, liar? There's no way that it's that much.
The Atari one?
Yeah.
Yeah, the new Atari system that they're making, it's a computer that you plug into your like system and you can use it just like a normal computer. Yeah, they're charging like $400 for that. It's wild.
I think these
are like the original Intellivisions.
Yeah.
All right.
If only we had a young Jamie from the Joe Rogan. He knows how to find the right things. Sniper doesn't know how to Google. Or they're just showing him like unoffensive Canadian content.
Mm-hmm. So it's Canadian filters.
Yeah.
All right, next question from M. Pilaf. What is your dish? Like, if someone asked you to cook something, what is something you are good at making?
Oof.
Not a lot, man.
I am good at the slow cooker, or I was at a certain point. Sam brings it up constantly. Like, you were super good at, like, doing things on a slow cooker.
The slow cooker, you just throw shit in there.
Yeah, but you can... There's levels to every game, dude. And I was like at the upper tiers, echelons, if you will.
Well, you just knew what shit to put in there because you put it in there and you turn the thing on.
Calm down, first of all. No. So if you cook things with vinegar first, it extracts all the juices and like kind of burns them up. And you end up with like a dry meat. And then you could put in flavors, let's say a barbecue sauce, and then cook it yet again. And then the meat would absorb in the place of all the oils you pulled out, this barbecue sauce. So they'd be infused with this barbecue sauce. And then you lay that on. I'm getting juicy over there. I got a juicy mouth.
Turn into Boss Nass over here.
You just pour this over fucking some rice and you're fucking golden.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I think when I used to cook, I would cook a lot of chicken and a lot of shrimp, actually. Shrimp and rice, chicken and rice, and like some vegetables. That's what I ate so much.
Tuna and rice was my thing, yeah.
Yeah. And I still feel confident that I could cook shrimp, like just on a skillet. I could still do it. I don't know. I've never really been a good cook, but I've been able to make stuff that I would eat. But, you know, that's not saying much. All right, next question. Cricket Soldier asks, if you had to upgrade to one of the new NVIDIA cards, which one would you choose and why?
The best one, dude. The 3080? Is that what it is?
Well, the 3090, but it's not out yet.
Okay. Yeah, whatever the best one is.
I don't know. Am I getting this for free? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But if I was going to buy one.
They're not that expensive. They're not like Titans, right?
Seriously, dude?
No, I don't know. I haven't looked.
Yeah, they're like crazy expensive. Well, they're gouging right now because the 3080, I think, is the only one you can get. And yeah, people are buying them on eBay for like $2,500.
Okay, what if you got it?
MSRP? Yeah. Can you buy video cards?
Let's say you did, dude. I doubt that his question is inflating.
Wait, hold on. These he's looking it up right now, and it's saying these 3080s for the EVGA is $1,091. But can you even get that though? Like, can you even buy that right now? Click on that. Is it out of stock? Add to cart? No, it's there.
Boom. Done.
This is Canadian prices and quantities. We're not sharing with you right now, you people.
This is Canada only.
Yeah, Canada only. Get the fuck out. Yeah.
I'm so upset with you right now, dude.
I don't know. I think the best price per performance is the 3070. I don't think that's out just yet. I think it's getting close. I thought it was supposed to be at the end of October, but yeah, dude, if I was going to upgrade, like I'm still fine with my 1080. So like I'd spend $500 on a 3070. I could do that.
I have a 1080 Ti. I have zero problems ever. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, and it just works.
Everything just works.
1440p.
Everything just works.
Well, there have been some issues with some games. Deus Ex Human Revolution. That's even kind of an old game, but yeah, if I max out the settings on that, yeah, it'll lag. But yeah, dude, I'm not really feeling the need for another graphics card right now. And whenever I do buy another graphics card, I'm probably not going to get like the super top tier one, man. Like I'm pretty okay with spending $500 on a graphics card and getting something that's gonna, you know,
you're not going ham next time.
Yeah, no need to get crazy. And yeah, it would be nice to have RTX when Cyberpunk comes out, but you know, it's not gonna break the game for me, so I'm fine with it. All right, wow. Final question.
Back in my day, we had newspapers. I don't know when.
Dwight Dynamite asks, what video game, current or historic, most closely mirrors the presidential election?
Whoa. It's a loaded question, dude.
I don't know.
There's an election game, isn't there?
Yeah. What is that Stardock game? I used to play it like every time there was a presidential election. There was an achievement they had. They got rid of it, but it was an achievement for playing it on like election week or something. It's called The Political Machine, and they keep updating it. Like I have the 2012 version, but you know, every 4 years they have a new version of it. They put in new people. It wasn't a very good game. Huh. I've been wanting to play Political Animals by the guy who made Academia School Simulator.
Yeah.
Because that seems like a better thought out game, and the graphics look pretty cool. But it's you're playing animals that are running for office, so you know.
Maybe an elephant, maybe a donkey.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But I don't know. That's a very literal interpretation of this question. Symbolically, how do you feel like, or what game do you feel like represents?
What are the screenshots for, dude? This looks amazing. The Political Machine 2020.
Yeah.
3.3 stars, $15. What is this? It looks great.
Yeah. Like you pick a candidate and you campaign and you pick the issues. And it's all super confusing. Like, I don't know. Maybe I just didn't spend the time to really figure out what I was doing so I could enjoy this. But yeah, and you fly around and you figure out where you want to spend money to tackle the hot issues.
I mean, it's a game just like any other game, right? Like a complex game. It's like a 4X game.
It's got pretty good reviews, mostly positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know.
There you go.
Is there a game where the setting feels like the landscape of 2020, though?
Yes, it does. There is Mass Effect 3. We have to go like Renegade or Paragon. Is that the right? Is that two or three?
Paragon and...
That's two. I think it's two.
You have to do them in all of them, don't you? Like, you get the decision.
Yeah, but in three, it was different.
Yeah, at three, they changed it a little bit, but I think you still made those decisions.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Don't bring up politics unless you're on the Movies in the DL, where we get deep into politics.
No, I wouldn't say deep.
Bobby pulled out a switchblade. I pulled out a fucking peace olive, an olive branch, and we did battle. Trying to sell the Patriot.
Oh, man. There was a year during a presidential election, I want to say this was like 12 years ago, where there was a conspiracy. This is back before conspiracy theories were super cool and spread widely on the internet. But there was a theory that they were trying to keep young people from voting by releasing Call of Duty right before the election.
Oh.
And I was like, that's stupid. They release Call of Duty every single year, the same time every year. Mm. Like, I don't know. But I always think of that during election time. I'm like, I think, like, are they Treyarch or someone trying to keep all the kids at home from voting by releasing Call of Duty? No, they're trying to release it before Christmas.
What was super interesting was there was a tweet today that said, it's easier to vote from space for a white woman than it is for a Mexican or Latino to vote from their own zip code. Because a lot of I don't want to get into politics. But it's hard. It's hard for some people to vote because you have to wait in line 6 feet apart for 4, 5, 6, 10 hours.
But we're completely mail-in here, aren't we? Like, I filled out my ballot and I took it to the registrar. They have drop-off points, but I was like, you know what, dude? The postal system is kind of like...
sketchy.
Yeah, like, I don't super trust them right now. I feel a little bit better. I mean, it's probably no difference, but I feel a little bit better driving down to the registrar, handing it over to someone, and, you know,
that's the thing. The registrars were shut down all over the states of certain states.
Oh,
so,
really?
So you'd have to drive 30, 40, 50 miles.
Yeah.
100 miles to go get to it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Who knows? But I voted from space. All right, everybody. I think that's a podcast.
Yeah. What are we doing next week? What are we watching? What are we playing?
Well, again, I'm going to go with the same thing. I want to finish Doom. I ain't even loaded up this week, but, you know.
How far into that game are you?
I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Well, there's 13 levels, 12 levels. I want to say you're around. I left off around level 6. I'm about halfway through.
How do you not finish that, dude? And by the way, this game that we were talking about, Scorn, looks more Doom than Doom to me.
Yeah, it's pretty Doom. Yeah, it's got that hellish landscape.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's not the Doom Slayer. Yeah. I am probably going to continue to play some Deep Rock and some Killing Floor 2. So if anyone wants to play those games, hit me up. It's my last week before I have to start teaching my class again, and I'm going to be a lot more busy. So
my goal this week is to put in 40 hours. That's my goal.
Of work?
Yeah.
Like, cap it at 40 hours?
Yeah, cap it at 40 hours. So that I can, like, hang out with my family and play video games and play D&D and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like regular people. All right, speaking for Bobby and myself, super sus titty, dude. They're sus. I see those titties, and they're sus.
I don't know if I'm a fan of this whole sus word.
Dude, my daughter is... it's just ingrained in her. There's no way... nobody taught her anything. She dances the music just instantly. Just dances.